Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to talk about the subject of the trouble with lying. And we're going to use Peter and his denial of the Lord Jesus Christ as our text. You see, in Peter's denial of Jesus Christ, we can see the trouble with lying. Here in John chapter 18, verse 17, watch this lie. The damsel that kept the door and said unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? And he saith, I am not. That was a lie. And once you tell a lie, you're going to be confronted again at some point with the same question. Or with a question that's very similar to it. That's why lawyers use depositions. I mean, they're using depositions in part for discovery, but you're under oath when you take a deposition. And oftentimes at trial, they're going to refer back to a question that was asked at the deposition, and they're going to ask it again or another way. They're going to see if you're not going to tell a lie. In other words, that you can't remember what you said that time now that you're under oath this time. And so you get confronted either with the same question or one that's very similar to it. And in order to cover yourself, you're going to have to lie again. Now, in the end, whenever that is, it could be tomorrow, it could be this afternoon, it may be years from now. But in the end, the truth is coming out, and you are going to be caught. That's one of the big problems with lying. Well, now let's go through what happens with Peter here and really develop this subject of the trouble with lying in great detail. Here it is. Number one. Once you start lying, it's hard to stop. That's it. Once you start lying, it is hard to stop. Titus chapter 1, verse 12, Paul is quoting one of the prophets, one of the witnesses of the Cretans, and said, that prophet said, the Cretans are always liars. The Cretans are always liars. In other words, once you start lying or making lying a way of life, you're going to have a hard time stopping. I remember one of our children got in trouble one time, and I asked our child, I said, Why did you lie? And the answer was, well, that was the first thing that came to mind. And it was easier to lie than it was to tell the truth, even though the consequences of the lie were worse than the consequences of the truth. Just became a way of life. Once you start, it's hard to stop. Now listen, in the denial of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know what you find? Peter lied to the maid that kept the door when he entered the palace. That's John chapter 18, verse 17. And then he lied to a damsel when he was still in the palace but not on the porch. A damsel came to him saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. He said, I don't know what thou sayest. In other words, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he lied to a maid of the high priest. She said, this man was also with him. And he told her, Woman, I know him not. He did all that in his first denial. I mean, those things kind of happen really close and in fairly rapid succession with each other right there. So that's the first denial. But then he goes out onto the porch. And when he's out there, he lied to the servants and officers in John chapter 18. In verse 18, he's with the servants and officers. In verse 25, they said unto him, Are not thou also one of his disciples? He said the same thing to them that he said to the damsel that kept the door. I am not. And then, while he's out there on the porch, he lies to a maid. in Matthew chapter 26, verse 71. He's out in the porch. A maid saw him. He said, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. In verse 72, he said with an oath, I don't know the man. Isn't that something? And then while he's out there on the porch, all of this involved in his second denial, he says to a man that, you know what? I don't know him. Luke chapter 22, verse 58. After a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. Peter said, man, I am not. Now, you know that there are several episodes in that second denial because he's lying to them in John 18, 25, and to a maid in Matthew 26, and to a man in Luke chapter 22 at verse 58. It's something else, man. I know when you're seeing this, you know, you may be interested, first of all, that he didn't just say it three times. He says it to three different groups three different times. I mean, in other words, if you add it all up, that's nine times in this short period of time that he lies. All right, and then in his third denial, he lies to a man in Luke chapter 22, verse 59 and 60. Another confidently affirms, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. And in verse 60, Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And what are you talking about? You can just hear it, right? So he lies to that man. He also lies to those, in other words, more than one man, who were standing by him in Mark chapter 14, verse 70. And a little after lying to the maid, in Mark 14, 70, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And then, while he's out there, he lies to a servant of the high priest who saw him in the garden in John chapter 18, verse 26. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter denied again. Now, you see that? I mean, we've all known that there were three denials, but what I've given you here by going through and putting the Gospels all together is that there's three lies told in the first denial, and three lies told in the second denial, and three lies told in the third denial. And what that shows you is that once you start lying, it is hard to stop. You better decide next time you get ready to tell a lie that you may have to tell that lie over and over and over again. And the question is, are you prepared to do that and to answer it from all these different inquiries? Some are direct. Aren't you one of his disciples? Aren't you a Galilean? Isn't that the way Galileans talk? Didn't I see you out there in the garden? Weren't you with Jesus of Galilee? Weren't you with Jesus of Nazareth? You see how that goes? And I mean, after a while, you better decide whether you want to stand up to that much interrogation, because that's exactly what's coming. That's exactly what's coming. Now, I'm going to ask you to show you something else from this text on Peter's denial. The trouble with lying is not only that once you start lying, it's hard to stop, but the other trouble is you become more adamant when you're cornered. You become more adamant when you're cornered. Listen, when Peter shows up and John brings him in, okay, so he can see what's going on, he went from simply lying about his discipleship and association with Jesus Christ, okay, he went from that, John chapter 18, verse 17, aren't you one of his disciples? No, I'm not. Matthew chapter 26, verse 70, he denied before them all, I know not what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what thou sayest. When they said, weren't you with Jesus? So he went from simply lying about his discipleship and association with Jesus Christ to denying him with an oath. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 72, when he's cornered the second time out on the porch by the maid, the Bible says he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. You see, he's now more adamant. Before, it's like, I don't know him. I'm not one of his. What are you talking about? Okay, that's just sort of that casual, you just brush off type lying. But then they say, wait a second. Say, you know something? You were with Jesus of Nazareth. And that's when he takes an oath. I do not know the man. I swear to you, I don't know him. See? Now he's becoming more animate. And then, when he's cornered again in Matthew chapter 26, verse 74, you know what he does? He curses and swears. Matthew 26, 74 says, then began he to curse and to swear. So he goes from simply lying about his discipleship and association with Jesus to denying him with an oath to then cursing and swearing that he doesn't know him. Now, this is very instructive. When we see how Peter's doing this in his denial of the Lord Jesus Christ, very instructive about lying. Why? These days, the more that a man professes his innocence, the more that a man denies his guilt, the more inclined we are to believe that he's guilty. So he says, you do this? No, I didn't. Well, I think somebody over here told me that he saw you over there with him the other day, and you're telling me you didn't do that? I'm telling you, I swear to you I didn't do it. Well, yeah, but the thing is, there were five people that saw you over there. I'm telling you, blankety blank, blankety blank, I wasn't there. You know what that is? I'll tell you what, that somebody's pushed his hot button. The guy got cornered. And I'll tell you, when you see a man professing his innocence, denying his guilt, and adamant about it when he's cornered, it's hard to believe that he's telling you the truth. We're inclined to believe that he's guilty. Why? We've seen this kind of behavior before. We've seen this kind of behavior with big-name actors when they were accused of something. Or we've seen this with star athletes when they were accused of doping or accused of gambling or accused of an affair. We've seen this with high-profile politicians on campaign contributions, on political favors, on affairs. We've seen this with big-time preachers concerning immorality and financial infidelity, all that kind of stuff. You know, we're used to the profile of a man becoming more adamant when he's cornered. You lie, and then you lie more adamantly. You see that? Are you sure you want to continue on with this way of life? It doesn't get better. You're seeing from the scripture why it's getting harder and harder for you to keep living the lie you're living. That's what you're seeing. And you're seeing it in the life of Peter, but this time it's not just about him, it's about you. The trouble with lying is once you start lying, it's hard to stop. And then you become more adamant when you are cornered. But that's not all. The more you lie, the more convinced you are of the lie. We see that in the life of Peter when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. The more Peter denied the Lord, the more convinced he was of his lie. In other words, when he walks in and the damsel says, are not thou also one of his disciples? He said, I am not. And goes in. You don't know if it's because he's mad, probably. After that episode in the garden, before they went out into that garden, they finished up supper and they're getting ready to go. And the Lord said something to them about needing some swords. And they said, well, we have two. And he said, well, that's enough. Peter got one of those. They go out, and then he falls asleep during the prayer meeting, and the Lord gets after him for doing it. So he's already a little bit tweaked about that because it's late at night, and he's tired. And then all of a sudden, here comes Judas Iscariot with the band of soldiers, and boy, Peter's got his opportunity, pulls that sword, and off goes Malchus's ear, and the Lord heals the ear, tells Peter to put the sword back after telling him he might need it, and after Peter had tried again and again to convince the Lord Jesus Christ that he did not need to be crucified, he goes in there and said, I'm not that guy's disciple. No way. Because he wants to die so bad. I mean, Peter's mad. He's partly afraid. He's been following afar off. The lady says, you know, aren't you one of his disciples? I'm not. Kind of a brush-off lie. But you know something? The evidence against Peter was mounting. And no longer are we dealing with a damsel at the door who's just asking whether or not he's one of the disciples, because she's suspicious that he is. Now we're dealing with maids and maids of the high priests and servants and officers and men and a man that was there in the garden. We're dealing with a whole bunch of people. The evidence against him was mounting, and yet he continued to deny the Lord. I mean, he came in with John, right, and denies the Lord before that maid that kept the door. And he's hanging around there by a fire in the palace, and these folks knew he'd been seen with Jesus in the city. Several of them there recognized him as having been with Jesus. They said, "You were with Jesus of Galilee. You were with Jesus of Nazareth." They knew it. And then beside that, when he's been around there for a while and he's making his second denial, they said, "Well, dude, we know you're from Galilee. We know that about you." And beside that, his speech gave him away. He talked like a Galilean. I mean, you say, well, what's the big deal about him being from Galilee? Well, Jesus had come down from Galilee, and he had an entourage with him. And so it's only fitting that those people that came down from Galilee with him that aren't used to hanging around the town are with him. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, a Southerner going up to New York, and they're saying, "You from the South?" And the guy says, "No, I ain't from the South." And they start asking, you know, more questions, and he answers more questions, and they said, "You just sound like you're from the South, boy." And he says, "By golly, I don't know what you're talking about, boys." Speech gives you away. That's what. And then, on top of that, the servant of the high priest even saw him in the garden. In John 18:26, one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, saith, "Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" You know he's going to be there next to Malchus. He knows who took Malchus's ear off. Now listen, Peter kept lying. Why? It's the nature of lying. The more you lie, the more convinced you are of the lie. By this time they knew that he was one of the disciples. There was no getting around it. And yet he held on to the lie in spite of all this evidence. You know, Richard Nixon, Bill Clinton, Lance Armstrong come to mind. They all knew they were lying, and yet when the evidence was vastly against them, they continued to lie. As if, hey, if I keep on lying, everybody else is going to be convinced that my lie is the truth. And that's not so. It's never so. Why? Because the truth always comes out. You see, the trouble with lying is once you start lying, it's hard to stop. You become more adamant when you're cornered. The more you lie, the more convinced you are of the lie. And then bang, the truth comes out. You say, did it come out for Peter? Absolutely. It's recorded here in the Bible. You're just reading it for yourself. I mean, after all this episode, Peter was eventually restored to his discipleship. Remember the episode with Jesus Christ? "Peter, do you love me?" "Yeah, I love you." "Okay, feed my lambs." "You love me?" "Yeah, I love you." "Feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Come on. You know I love you." "Okay, feed my sheep." Now he's restored to his discipleship. He became the apostle to the circumcision. He spent a great deal of time in Jerusalem preaching after the ascension. And all these folks would have certainly known then who he was. They knew this night who he was. He was the only one who didn't know. He was the only one who didn't know who he was. They all knew. And certainly when he starts preaching like that, everybody knows. This is Peter. That's the guy that, you know, pretended that he wasn't the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth always comes out. Listen, you are lying is just a matter of expediency. All you're trying to do is just get away with whatever it is you're trying to get away with right now. You're not even worried or thinking about what's going to come later or what's coming tomorrow. That wasn't on your mind. You're just trying to get out of hot water right now. But I'm going to tell you something. You better think about this before you try to get out of hot water right now. The truth always comes out. You're going to face it. You are going to face it. I don't know what you've been lying about. But I know the way these radio broadcasts go, we, you know, pray and come up with a topic and we put it out there on the air, and invariably you hadn't been listening for a while, you flip on the radio, and this just happens to be the day you turned on the radio, and this just happens to be the day you hear this broadcast, and this just happens to be a broadcast about lying, and lying just happens to be the problem you're dealing with right now. Well, I'm telling you, you better listen to this. The truth always comes out. In other words, it's not worth lying. Eventually, you're going to have to face the truth. You might as well face it now. Might as well face it right now. Now, the other problem with lying is this. When you face the Lord with your lie, you're going to weep. You're going to face the Lord with your lie, okay? And when you do, like Peter, you're going to weep. You see, you're going to weep, first of all, when you call to mind the words of God against lying. This Bible is filled with admonitions against lying. Peter had some direct admonitions. Here in Mark chapter 26, verse 75, Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And you know what the Bible says then? He went out, watch it, and wept bitterly. Wept bitterly. In Mark chapter 14, verse 72, the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went, and he thought thereon, and wept. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Listen, you're going to face the Lord with your lie. When you do, you're going to weep. You will. Why? Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Every word of God is true from the beginning. This is the true God, the Bible says. Jesus Christ saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He's solid truth, man. Straight up. You take all these guys who say it's unconstitutional in the United States government to mention the name of Jesus Christ or to pray in school or to study a Bible. I'm going to tell you what, that's a big fat lie. It is a big fat lie. And when men face God with that lie, they're going to weep. The tragedy that we face now with the type of immoral behavior that goes on in this country that started after 1964, all the men and women responsible for that decision are going to stand before God and give account one day, and they're going to cry. They're going to weep. There will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. All those supposed scientists that were going around telling everybody evolution is real and creation is a lie, they're lying. And I think many of them know they're lying, but they say evolution so that they can be accepted in the company of those whom they honor above the Lord, so that they can get their material published, so they can get the better jobs. They have to be evolutionists in order to get certain professorships and all that. They're going to stand before Jesus Christ one day, and he's going to say, "You know what? You were lying about that evolution thing. But you did it because it was expedient, got you a better job, put you in company with some big shot name scientists that you wanted to have some association with. So you went along with the lie, and a bunch of those kids in school heard that and quit believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're responsible for their eternity in hell. You're going to weep, brother. You're going to weep. Lying about evolution. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian and you use evolution for any reason to help yourself be able to get a job in school or to be able to get some sort of association in your company, and you're saying that stuff when you know it's not right, you're going to face the Lord with that lie, and you're going to weep. Yes, you are. And you better think about it right now, because one of these days that truth is coming out and you're going to face the Lord with that lie. You already know in the Word of God that that's a lie, because the Bible says in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That's the way the whole Bible starts. And there's testimony after testimony throughout this Bible attesting to the validity of that very thing. How much longer are you going to keep up with the lie, Buster? You better think. You will weep when you call to mind the words of God against the lies you're telling. And I'm going to tell you something else. You will weep when you have to face Jesus Christ with your lie. In Luke chapter 22, verse 61, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. After all these denials, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said before, "The cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice," and Peter went out and wept bitterly. You're going to face him. You are going to face the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're one of these guys that's gone around and said Jesus Christ is a fairy tale like Santa Claus, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to eat those words one of these days because you know it's a lie. But you've told it because it was expedient for you. It gave you association with somebody you wanted to be associated with who didn't believe that truth. So you sold him out like Peter did so that you could have this other association. You are going to face it. Now, I'm just asking you a question. You going to be more adamant now that you've been cornered? Are you going to be more convinced of your lie now that it's been pointed out to you? The truth's coming out. You're going to face it. I know once you start to lie, it's hard to stop. But you better stop, and you better stop now. Why? Because you need to remember that saints are to put away lying and they are to speak the truth. That's what Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." That's what you're supposed to do, is speak the truth. Put away lying, speak every man with his neighbor, truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You going to start telling the truth? Preacher, have you been lying in your pulpit? Politician, have you been lying to your constituents? Businessman, have you been lying to your customers, to your employees, to your shareholders? Scientists, have you been lying to your students and your proteges? Huh? And I'm going to tell you one more thing. Sinners who, without Christ, die will spend eternity in the lake of fire for lying. The Bible says, "And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You're going to face it. And I tell you something, you better stop lying now. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.